with difficulties and challenges and temptations, and they are a part of our life, and they always will be a part of our life as long as we're here on earth. So James, the half-brother of Jesus, has written a book, the book of James, and in the first part of the first chapter, he deals with those challenges. How can we overcome our problems, and how can we overcome our temptations? We've been looking for a few weeks at how to deal with our problems. And James says, consider it joy because of what God's going to do on the other side. He's going to strengthen your faith if you're trusting Him. He's going to make you more like Christ. And when you're in the midst of them, seek His wisdom. Pray and ask for His guidance, and He will see you through. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at temptations. How do we deal with temptations? And James starts off by saying, when you're tempted, don't think it's from God. God will never be tempted with evil, neither will He tempt any man with evil. So where does the temptations come from? You say, well, they come from Satan. Well, that's partly true. There can be satanic influences in the world. But the reason that temptation has such an appeal on us is because of what is in us, our sinful nature. It says each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And then when that gives way to sin, or that gives birth to sin, and then sin full grown brings forth death. So how do we overcome temptations? What do you deal with in your life that is just a sore spot? It's a stronghold, and if you could get rid of that, you would be so much better off. Well, what I want us to think about today is the fact that when Satan tempts us to do evil, he is tempting us with deception and lies. It is presented as truth. We think it's right, and we bite into it, and then we face the consequences of it. So if we're going to overcome temptation in our life, and we all have them, they're different, but we all face temptation. Some of them are small, some of them are major. Some of them we don't have a big struggle with, some of them we have a major struggle with. But whatever the temptation is, however it comes to you, whatever intensity in which you face it, if you want to be continually victorious over it, you've got to learn to expose the lies that you're believing and the deception you've bought into, and believe God's truth about the temptation. What Satan wants to do is he wants to take a God-given need that you have and have you meet that need outside the boundaries that God has set up. And that's what makes it wrong. That's what makes it sin. That's what makes it disobedience. There's no need that you have that God doesn't want to meet in His way for your benefit. But Satan tries to get you to meet that outside of the bounds. So we've got to expose the lies with the truth. If you're trying to overcome temptation by willpower, that'll only last so long. God, I promise you I'll never do this again. Please forgive me. And as God is my witness, this is the last time I'll ever do this. Then a week later, God, here I come again. I'm sorry, I promise this will be the last time. And then we just continue that cycle. And the reason is we're trying so hard not to do what we really want to do. And so somewhere in the line, that willpower is going to give in. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I know somebody. I got a friend at work, and he used to drink all the time. And he decided he was going to stop cold turkey, and he just stopped drinking. He was an alcoholic. He was abusive. He stopped it. Don't tell me willpower is not enough. Well, I would venture to say that if you go back and talk to him, you're going to find out there was more than just willpower. Maybe the doctors told him, now, your liver is destroyed. If you keep drinking, it's going to kill you. Or maybe you find out his wife said, you know, we can't take any more of this. It's either the bottle or us. And so he stopped cold turkey. But there was reasons why he stopped. And that was because his thinking about that issue in his life out of control in this situation made him think differently. Maybe for years he didn't, but something finally happened where he thought about it differently. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Now, Satan, as a roaring lion, the Bible says, is seeking to devalue. He wants to mess up your life. He wants to destroy you. And so God's admonitions to you and God's admonition to me is you better be alert. You better be on your guard, because you never know when he's coming or where he's coming from or what he's going to do, but he's out there. He's our enemy, and he is laying in the grass in wait to destroy us. And so you need to understand that, and I need to understand that. Every day of our lives, throughout the day, Satan is trying to destroy us with temptation. Some allurement that is before us that appeals to our sinful nature, and we want that, and we reach out for it. But it's not of God. It is meeting a God-given need outside the bounds of what God tells us. So if you are in a situation where you're watching what you eat, and that's one of the things that I am working on now and have had a fair amount of success. I say fair, not great. Then you understand this little picture. Here's this lady, and she's got this great, I don't even hardly want to say this, piece of chocolate cake in front of her. And we've seen cartoons, and we've seen things on television where, like, the devil's on whispering in one ear, why don't you eat that? It's going to be good. Look how moist it is. And okay, I'll stop there. And then on the other ear is this angel saying, no, you need to eat healthier, and you need to take this, and so forth. Well, let me just mention one thing to you. Satan is not going to come to you in a red jumpsuit and pitchfork and horns. Okay, he's not going to do that. If anything, he's going to present himself as an angel of light. And he's going to say, this is what you need to do. Is there anything wrong with eating chocolate cake? Yes, don't eat the whole cake. Just eat a slice. Okay, do it in moderation if you want to do that. But understand that Satan is going to tempt you to do something outside of what he wants, what God wants you to do. So last week I asked you, if you'll just tell me an area that you struggle with or somebody else struggles with, I'll talk about it today. And nobody in either service came to me, so I picked out my own. I Googled what is the most common temptation that people face, and it came up with worry. Do you worry? According to statistics, most of you do. And you don't just worry a little bit, you worry a lot. I mean, you are a first-class worrier. You're at the top of your class. It doesn't take much to get you to worry. I like what this sign says. Worry doesn't take away tomorrow's problem or troubles. It takes away today's peace. That's a great statement to write down and remember. Worry is not going to take away tomorrow's problems. It's just going to take away today's peace. So I want to talk to you this morning about winning the war over worry. But more than that, I want you to take the principles about this temptation, worry, and apply it to whatever other temptations you face. Because it's the same battle strategy. It's just replace it with different temptations and different verses and different principles toward that particular temptation. If your temptation that you really struggle with happens to be worry, then I'm going to do some of your homework for you today. The other temptations you're going to have to do your own homework on. And you're going to have to maybe get some help in doing that. But how do you win over worry? So whatever the temptation is, I think the first thing we need to do is to identify, what am I struggling with? Now, for most of you, it's not going to take very long, because you know what you struggle with. It might be worry. It might be anger. It might be a number of issues that plague you and that knock you off the path that you want to be on. So if it's not worry, you can replace it with whatever else. And the second thing, what form does that temptation take? And we'll talk about worry today. What forms does worry take? What stresses you out? What makes you anxious? What causes you to worry and keep you up at night? Well, for some of you, it's your job. You're just stressed out about your job. You know, you got that new boss, and he's putting those ridiculous regulations. And they're asking you to do all this other stuff. You never had to do that before. And you're so old, you don't think you can do all that newfangled stuff, and it's just stressing you out. You're excited that you're going to retire in another 2 years, but you're thinking how you're going to make it when you retire. You just heard somebody got laid off at work, or maybe you got laid off at work, and you're thinking, maybe I'm next and how I'm going to get through this. And it's just your job is just, and the customers you have and the people you deal with and your coworkers. I mean, every day your job is on your mind, and you take it home with you, and you struggle with it, and you worry about it all night long. You say, not with my job, but my health. You know, you had something little happen to you this week and you went to the doctor and they said, I don't know, you need to take this pill. You've never taken a pill in your life. You might get addicted to pills. What am I going to do? I'm going to die. I'm going to be in a hospital. They're going to put me in a loony bin. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you just go on and on and on. You go to the doctor and you get a call back and he says, oh, we saw a spot. There's something wrong and you need to come in. We need to talk about this. And then you just fall apart. You know, I'm going to die tomorrow. Now, you may have issues. You may have to face a surgery and you're not going to be the same. You may have to deal with something that might bring about poor health or poorer health than you've experienced in the past. Or you might be taken home to be with the Lord, but it's in God's hands, right? Your worrying's not going to change that. If I just worry tonight, I'll get better tomorrow. No, you won't. It's just going to take away the peace that God wants to give you today. Well, for me, it's my marriage. You know, my husband said something the other day that sort of made me thinking, does he still want to be married to me? As a matter of fact, my wife said to me, you know, she can't take any more of this. Maybe we should just separate. And if she does, I don't know how I'm going to make it. What about the kids? And you just go off on that, and that just consumes your life. Now, those are legitimate concerns. I mean, you opened the checkbook up yesterday, and then you closed it right back as quickly as you opened it because you don't want to think about that. And Christmas is coming on, and the car that you rode in just barely made it to church today. And the mechanic said it may not be much longer, and you don't have money to put into it. And there's all kinds of forms that worry can take in our heart. Now, I'm not saying that these things are not real challenges, but the temptation is to worry about them. And so, what is my temptation in this situation? Worry. What forms does that temptation in your life take? And worry, these are some of those. You may have some others that cause you to worry. When is temptation the strongest? Monday mornings. When I go to work. I hate Mondays. For you, it's Fridays. I live for Fridays, but then Friday night, I lose it. And then Saturday. And then I try to get myself back together on Sunday. I come to church and try to make up for all the wrongs I did Friday and Saturday so I can start back to work on Monday. And it's just, I'm so weak on Fridays. It's when my aunt comes over and she brings that chocolate cake. I'm doing good if she brings that. Or I'm doing good. I got this one friend, and she's Debbie Downer. That's her name. And every time I talk to her, I feel pretty good. And then I'm depressed the rest of my day after I talk to her. What form does it come in? Well, when are you the most susceptible? You know, when my boss balls me out because I didn't meet quota this month, then I think I don't care. I'm just going to do whatever. And that's wrong. I know that's wrong, but that's the only way I know to handle it. How can you defeat temptation? That's what we're talking about today. And we're talking about worry. Well, we got to replace the lies with truth. Somehow you bought into the deception, if I just worry about it, I'm doing something positive. You're not. Worry's like a rocking chair, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Never make any progress. You just sort of stay in the same place. You're stuck in the same place. So worrying is not the answer to the temptations that you face. Worry has to be dealt with in another way. So we say we've got to place the reception in the lies with truth. So the psalmist said, and there's many scripture that talk about this. I just picked out one. Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm taking what God says in this situation. I'm taking what God says about worry. And I'm believing what God says about worry. And when worry comes, I'm taking the truth and I'm dispelling the lies and I'm not being downed by worry. Let me show you how that happens. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This is what God says about worry. Don't do it. Don't worry about what? Anything. So if you are worried today about anything, let me just tell you, that is a sin. Yeah, but this is an exception. There's no exceptions to don't worry about anything. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, then you need to change. Worry is a sin. It is never right. It is never profitable. It'll never solve tomorrow's problems, and it'll take today's peace. But you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but God does. So instead of worrying about your problems, do what? Tell God about it. Don't worry about anything, but tell God everything. Now let me tell you a good time to do that. You get a phone call this afternoon and it just floors you and stresses you out and something's come up and you go to bed and guess what you can't do? Sleep. Ever been there? You just think about it over and over and over again and you think, I got to get to sleep. I got to get up in the morning. It's over and over. You're talking to yourself. You know, what am I going to do? I don't know how to deal with this. I can't believe they said this. Don't talk to yourself. Talk to God. God, here's the situation. They said this. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. This worry's coming in my mind. I know I shouldn't worry. So I'm just going to give it to you. Let you take care of it. You know, he can do that. This morning on the front row, and they're probably in the back, were some papers from the Angel Tree Ministry where you take a child and you buy a gift for it. Now remember, just imagine you're a child today and your parent takes one of those papers from the Angel Tree and they go and buy a gift for a child they do not know. And you start thinking, what about me? They probably won't give me nothing for Christmas. And you start worrying about it. And you've already checked out all the places they hide stuff because you've learned where they hide stuff through the years for you. And you know what it is before you get it because you've already opened it and looked at it. But you don't see anything. Let me tell you, if your parents are going to buy a gift for another child, don't you think they're going to buy a gift for you? I mean, this is a child they don't even know. Not kin to them. But because they care, they want to. If they're going to buy a gift for a child they don't know, surely they're going to buy a gift for a child that belongs to them. Now, I think that's what Jesus is saying here. And there's other verses down here that talk about worry. You can look at those. I've done a little bit of homework for you. But Jesus says in Matthew, the last part of the verse, that's why I tell you, don't worry about everyday things in life. Your clothes, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to eat. Don't you know that the birds outside God cares for? And if he cares for the birds, he's going to care for you? Most of you probably know this, but you matter more to God than a bird does. Now, he loves birds. He created them. But he loves you more than a bird. If he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. If your parents buy a gift for a kid they don't know, they're going to buy a gift for a kid they do know. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're a child of the King. So don't go worrying about all this stuff that you can't change. You say, well, I can change it. Well, then go do it. If you can change it, then go change it. If you can't change it, then it's beyond your realm. Turn it over to God. Talk to him about it. And then Philippians says, not only don't worry and instead tell God about it, but it says, and thank him for all he's done. I've gone through periods where I worry about things and I stress out about things, and I've always heard my life count sheep. I get down to about number 95, and then I'm back worrying. I never can get through that. So here's what we can do. Instead of worry, talking to yourself, tell God. And once you tell God, leave it to him. I had somebody tell me this morning, I quoted 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. And they said, here's my problem. I give it to the Lord, and then I take it back. You ever done that? When you give it there, leave it there. What do I do then? Just thank him for what you have. Lord, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for my family. Lord, thank you for my job. Lord, just think about things to thank God. Lord, I have been through a lot of challenges in my life, and you've got me through all of them. And so here's another one, and I'm about to fall apart, and I'm worrying about it. I'm stressed out, and I'm anxious. I can't sleep, and I yell at my family because I'm so impatient with this situation, and I say things I don't mean. And God, thank you for loving me and being patient with me. Just thank him. It's changing your whole mindset, your whole approach in that situation. You see, you can't worry about something and trust God with it at the same time. If you trust God, you're not going to worry. If you don't trust God, you are going to worry. And so just tell God, Lord, here it is. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. I have ladies that'll say to me sometimes, you know, after my husband died, going home at night is scary for me. I hate to leave because if I come home after dark, I'm afraid somebody's in there, and I'm just terrified. God's going to take care of you. Now, lock your doors before you leave, but God's going to care for you. Maybe he'll bring a friend to your life, somebody that you can talk to, or somebody that can check on you, or whatever. But you've heard this before. You know, most of the things we worry about never happen. No, they never happen. Some of them may happen. You can deal with them, or God will deal with them for you. So what happens when you don't worry about things, and it seems like your life has fallen apart, but you're not stressed out about it. You just seem to handle, you know, God's got this, and all things are going to work together for good, and they may not work out the way you want them to, but all things are going to work out for good. And somebody sees you and says, I can't believe you're not stressed out over this. I can't believe you're not worrying about this. You seem to be handling this in such a good way. How can you do that? Why, I don't understand the peace that you have. And then you can say, what's a peace that passes understanding? God gives that to me. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to fix it. But God's got it, and so I'm just going to give it to him, and I'm going to trust him. I'm a child of the king. He's my father. If he cares for the birds, he's going to care for me. If he dresses the flowers, he's going to dress me. If he takes care of their needs, he's going to take care of my needs. So I'm not going to stress out about it. Worrying doesn't help anyway, but trusting him sure does. And so that's what I'm going to learn to do. I don't think he was an Old Testament prophet, but Barney Fife used to say, nip it in the bud. So when temptation comes, don't entertain it. Don't start thinking about it and all the ramifications of that temptation and how it's going to help you, or what you're going to do and what you shouldn't do. Just stop thinking about that. Tell it to God and begin thanking God. If you are a world-class worrier, you may become a world-class prayer. Every time you worry, you just talk to God about it. That'll improve your prayer life. It'll improve your gratitude to God if you'll do just what he says. And when you do that, verse 7 says, then, after you've not worried and you turn it over to God and you've thanked him for it, then you will experience God's peace which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. That's what worry affects our mind, doesn't it? But God's, I'm not going to worry about this. I got a doctor's visit next week, and they said it's going to be 2 weeks before I get the results. It doesn't matter. It does not matter where the results are. If the results are bad, God's going to help me deal with it. Well, what if I got to do this? Well, then you got to do it. What if I die? You go be with the Lord. Well, my kid used to come to church, and now they don't get to church, and they won't do anything. They won't return my calls. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just pray for them. That's in God's hands. They were just on loan to you anyway. God might do some things that you could never do. So just turn it over to the Lord. Stop worrying and being anxious about this stuff. Trust God. Seek him more than you ever sought him before. And watch him do what you thought he could never do. Now, one of the classic passages on worry is in Matthew chapter 6, Christ's Sermon on the Mount. And in that passage, he talks about worry. We've already read part of it, but I want to read verses, 25 down through about verse 33 to you. This is Jesus speaking. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough to food or drink, or whether you're going to make it to retirement, or how you're going to fix that bill, or if I've got enough clothes to wear, or I need new shoes and my kids need braces. And life is more than food, and your body's more than clothing. That's not the most important thing in life. I mean, it might be to you, but it's not really to God. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, yet your heavenly Father. Do you know that of all of God's creation, humans are about the only thing that worries? After the service, go over and talk to one of these cows and ask them, what are you worrying about today? I'm worried about nothing. Here in this field, eating this grass, they don't worry about it. Go ahead and talk to the birds. What do you have in common with birds? Well, you both tweet, but that's about it. God's good. But humans worry, and we're the ones that shouldn't worry. We're the ones that Christ died for. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're kids of the King. If he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of us. They don't work for their clothes. The lilies of the fields don't, and yet Solomon and all his beauty couldn't compare to them. Who of you can add a moment to your life by worrying? I wish I was a woman. You shouldn't wish that, but if you're a man, but it's not going to happen. I mean, you can try to make some changes, and people try to make changes. If they think they need to do that, then they do that. But listen, you're still a man. You're not going to, I wish I had more hair. I'm not getting more hair. I mean, I'm losing what I got. I mean, the Lord's counting my hair is getting easier every day. Well, I'm going to try these plugs, and I'm going to, well, do that. He'll count those, whatever you need to do, but we're not going to change. We're not going to really change. I wish I was a little bit taller. I'm getting smaller this way. I mean, it just, it happens. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unsaved people. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're worrying about things, there's not a lot of things you can do about it. You don't have a Heavenly Father that you can go to. If you come to Christ, you will, and you can do that today. But if we're worrying, we're no different than the world. The world needs to see that when we face temptations and we face problems, we handle them with the peace of God, knowing He's in control. And then they say to us, how are you doing that? I don't know. I just turned it over to the Lord. The Lord helps me. And then you can be a testimony to them. Don't let worry, look at the word, dominate your thinking. Some of you wake up worrying, you go through the day worrying, you go through the evening worrying, and you go to bed worrying, and then you get up the next day and you pick it up and you take it again. Oh, it's dominate. Worry should not dominate us as Christians, because we should just trust God. He's going to care for it. And I'm telling you, if you'll learn that, He'll do it, and then you'll praise Him. And you'll sleep better at night. Four things, and we'll close, that Matthew says about worrying. First of all, worry makes no sense. It just makes no sense. I mean, why worry? You can't do it. Worry's not going to change it. Look at the birds of the field. God's going to take care of you. So if God is going to take care of you in the midst of your worry and whatever you're worrying about, if God's going to take care of you, what sense is it for you to worry about it? I mean, do you believe that all things work together for good to those who love God? Do you believe it, or do you just say you believe it? You see, when it comes to temptation, sometimes we say no, but we don't mean no. We got to really mean it. We got to believe it. It's got to be a conviction, not a preference in our heart and in our life. And worry is not going to do any good. It's just going to make us go back and forth. A second thing about worry is it's unhealthy. Now, we've got several nurses and staff people here in our congregation that work in hospitals and so forth, and they could probably speak much better to this than I. But a lot of people are in hospitals because of anxiety and stress and worry. You're dealing with ulcers. You're dealing with high blood pressure. If you'll just take these principles to heart and turn it over to God, you can get out of the hospital earlier. And then you can send me the money that you would have paid the hospital, because I helped you with that. You see how that works? I didn't think it worked that way. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Worry weighs a person down. It'll weigh you down. It'll hurt you physically. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says. A peaceful heart lends to a healthy life. That's what the Bible says. Solomon knew that. Solomon knew that if you would live a peaceful life, a stress-free life, a worrying life, if you would get rid of that, your life would be much healthier. But you don't know what's going through my life. You don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't know what you're dealing with, but He does. And He'll care for it. So talk to Him about it. Tell Him about it. Trust Him with it. And be thankful for what God's doing. Philippians 4 goes on to say, think on what is true and pure and of good report. Man, I wrecked the car the other day. My insurance is going to go up, and they're going to take my driver's license. And man, you just go crazy with worry. Things that'll never happen. Satan's got you. He's just reeling you in. Worry about that. First of all, worry doesn't make sense. Secondly, Worry is unhealthy. And thirdly, worry can dominate your thinking, but your focus should be on the Lord. So in Matthew it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Worry will dominate the lives of unbelievers, but it shouldn't dominate your life. What should dominate your life is not worry, but how can I fulfill God's purposes in my life, in my generation, to serve the kingdom of God? And then all these other things that I'm worried about, God's going to take care of those. Hey, you need to learn to do that. Whatever you're worried about today, it's a temptation from Satan. It is unhealthy. It is unwise. It'll dominate your thinking when serving God should dominate your thinking. Let me close with an illustration. You're a Virginia Tech fan. So yesterday was a big day for you. Last week was a big day for you because Tech beat Virginia, gave them 5 wins. If they get 6 wins, they can be bowl eligible. They've gone to 25 straight bowl games. If they beat Marshall yesterday, they'll go to 26, and that'll be the longest streak in college history. And so you're excited about the game. You've been thinking about it all week. You've been worrying about it all week. What if they don't win? After I have rubbed it into all my UVA coworkers, I'm going to have to face them, and they're going to say, ha, ha, ha. And so you shouldn't have done that anyway, but you're worried about that. But you have to work, and you can't even watch the game. And so what you do, you tape it. And all day you've been doing this, la, 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 because you don't want anybody to tell you what's happened because you want to come home and watch the game. And you're wearing your Virginia Tech shirt, and you've got your little Hokey bird sitting on the shelf, and this is a big day for you. You're in your man cave by yourself, or woman cave, whatever. And so you're sitting there, and you're watching the game, and you think, come on, Tech, come on, Tech. I love you, I love you, I love you. You have nothing to do with Tech anyway. Oh, I went there. Well, that has nothing to do with football. 10-0, you're so excited. We're going to win. We're going to win. I can't wait to see that guy work tomorrow. I'm going to tell him. And then Marshall scores a touchdown. It's 10-6, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? They're 8-3. Las Vegas has said that they're supposed to lose, and now we're going to lose. And your wife comes in and says, oh, you're watching the game? Tech won. What? Why did you tell me that? But you decide that's okay. You're going to watch the game anyway. They've got a punt. You get all stressed out about it. Oh, no. What's going to happen? You already know what's going to happen. Your wife has already told you. Wouldn't it be stupid to watch the rest of that game on tape and be concerned and worried about the outcome when you already know the outcome? God says to you, I got this. I'm going to take care of your problems. I'm going to help you. And then you get a problem. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then God says, I got that. I've already won that for you. Okay, but I still want to worry about it. Why? Isn't it senseless? Do you believe God cares for you? Do you believe he loves you? Do you believe he can help you with your problems? Then why are you worried about them? Give them to him. Then when he does, thank him for it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. And we face temptations, and worry is one of them. And little things stress us out, and we're just not sure how to handle them. Help us to learn at the very beginning, when worry starts to creep into our mind, say, I'm not going to do this. It's wrong. It's sinful. I'm going to turn it over to God. I'm going to trust him and let him take care of it. And then walk away and thank you. And then praise you when you do what you always do, work all things together for our good. Father, there's other temptations that we face. It's not worry. It's something else. We got to do our homework. We got to look in your word. We got to find the truth. We got to dispel the lies. And we dispel the lies, we can live in the truth. We can be victorious over temptation because the truth will set us free. Help us to live in that light till you come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Good day. Lord bless you.